The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Do you have a strong-willed child who dislikes authority? One that seems like an old soul? In other words, they're wise beyond their years? And they think they're a member of royalty? Do they bore easily? Have ADD or ADHD? Do they have trouble sleeping? Are they sensitive to clothes, sounds, or light? Are they just hard to deal with in general? Well, if you have a child like this, then you may have an indigo child. And that's what we're going to be talking about today with a lady that has a lot of knowledge and experience in dealing with indigos. Her name is Leslie Beckvon Pickaws. She is an emotional intuitive, an energy healer, mother of three indigos, a photographer, animal lover, and artist. Her greatest passions are raising her three indigo kids and learning from them every day, and her intuitive life coaching work. She pulls together her knowledge, intuitive skills, and understanding of energies and patterns and uses all in her own unique approach to life in her life coaching work. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, Beverly.
How are you today?
I am very excited to be here talking with you, as we have done many times before.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. And I'm especially excited about this topic. This is a very interesting topic to me. And let's just jump right in. I know I left some things out, so I'm going to let you continue and just tell us more about these indigo children and who are they?
Well, that is a very good question. And actually, you had a very good description, but you're correct. There are a lot more traits of indigos. Let me just start with one of the basics that most people will notice. They are very, very intuitive. That just, I don't think there's a whole lot of explanation I need to do with that. They are very, very intuitive.
Well, let me just embark on that just a little bit. Now, you're talking about, because I have an indigo also.
Right.
You're talking about these children just seem to know things, because I've noticed that in mine. And let me also say this. Sometimes, if you Google indigo, and sometimes people get way off on the deep end with this stuff. Now, we're not going to go there, right? But I do think that there is something to this, because I have an indigo, and I know sometimes she just knows things. And we all can be intuitive to a sense if you're kindly tuned into that. But some of them are just way more intuitive than others. Am I right on that?
You are, and you're also right that we are all intuitive, but we took a turn, I can't tell you how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of years ago, where we decided to go mainly with the brain and thinking, and we kind of discounted the intuitive side. We kind of discounted the feeling side. Mm-hmm. These indigos are coming in without those filters. They're showing us what we all have the capability of being, but yes, they do know things. And I think every listener out there has probably had the experience as well, where you just know something. And I bet everybody out there has even had the experience of the phone rings and you know who it is. Well, amplify that by, maybe 100. And that's what these kids have. But as I said, we all have the ability to. They just know they have it. They haven't learned that they don't have it. They haven't been taught that they don't have it. They just know who they are and they have it.
Right. So this is basically a side of us that's been suppressed for a lot of years that's actually waking up in these children, or they come here that way.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we did too, actually. We came in with the intuition as well. It's a part of us. There's no way around that. Uh-huh. But we learned very quickly that wasn't what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to do thinking, and just purely thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, go ahead and continue. I think I kind of interrupted you, but go ahead and continue with more of the traits of these indigos. And I also want to ask you that there's also some terms called crystal and rainbow children. Touch on those also. This show's not about that at this point, but I do want you to touch on those and finish talking more about the traits of the indigo child.
Okay, as far as rainbow, crystal, as humans, we love to categorize. Kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, that we like to think. You know, the brain is a remarkable tool, right?
Right.
And we love to use it.
Right.
And we love to categorize. So, yes, we could put all kinds of different labels. From what I understand, which I will get into, the woman who first coined the term indigo, she actually sees 12 different categories within indigo. But in the end, to me, that just, none of that really matters. What really matters is that these kids are showing us that we are moving forward as humans, that it's literally human evolution, evolution of consciousness, and that what's important is they are and how we can help them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the most important thing to me, is how can we help them
to
the best they can be and live up to their potential, and teach us as well. It's not about what their names are, and that's not a problem. People like, as I said, people like to name things, but to me, that's not the most important thing.
Right. Okay. And so these children, and you don't really, and we're going to get into this here in just a little bit, but I want to cover some other things first. But just to throw this in, you don't really parent these children the same as you do the average child, correct?
You can't. And, you know, that is another topic, and I do hope we have time for that today.
Definitely. Yeah, I want to touch on that just a little bit. I just want to throw that in, and hopefully we'll talk some more about it. But I did want to say this. We are coming up on 7 minutes, so I'm going to need to take a break here. But when we come back, I want to ask you what percentage of children nowadays are indigos. I think that's something that I've been wondering, and others may be wondering as well, and then we're going to talk more about it. So stay right there. I'll be right back with Leslie Beckbon-Picos. With Leslie Beckbon-Picos, we are talking about indigo children. And before the break, we were talking about the traits of the indigo children, and I kind of got a sidetrack. So let's get back to that, because I want you to finish telling and describing exactly what are the traits of these children.
Okay, well, it's a very long list, so I'm kind of sticking to some of the ones that I've seen the most in my kids, and that you hear about the most, and that I think most parents out there are also going to see in their kids.
Okay.
The second thing is sensitivity. And that can translate to not only to the environment around them and sensitive emotionally, but physical as well. I like to call it an overamplification of the nervous system.
Right.
Because they feel energy and they feel things so easily, so deeply, they can easily have that translate into physical problems as well because of this overamplication of the nervous system.
Right.
Yeah, it can manifest as depression, it can manifest as anxiety, it can manifest as I said, physical symptoms, and also episodes of anger and rage when they just get completely overwhelmed. That's such a good thing for parents to know, so
right.
they understand what's going on.
Right. And so, and sometimes, and I'm not saying categorizing all kids like this, but there is a disorder that they have a label for now. It's called sensory processing disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when, like, and I know there's several parents, and again, if your child has this, I'm not saying they're an indigo, but I'm just saying this is one of the traits I think I have found in indigos. Their skin is very sensitive. I don't know how many, I know there's other parents out there other than me that have had to turn socks inside out and trim the seam on socks and to cut the tags out, because these things, their skin is so sensitive that they can't stand it. And that is a trait of an indigo child. I think there's several, probably two or three different at least causes of that, but the medical profession has labeled it sensory processing disorder. But that is that's something that I think a lot of kids have a problem with. And again, I'm not saying they're indigos, but they could be. That is a trait, one of the traits of the indigos. So go ahead and continue with your list if you have any more.
Oh, sure. I have lots. Also, they're very empathic, meaning they pick up the feelings very easily of everyone around them. For some kids, it even translates into if someone around them is sick, they can physically feel sick.
Right. And now we've experienced that. Now, I know some of you parents out there probably said, oh, come on. No, look, I have experienced this with my daughter. That's one reason. And this, we'll get into this more with parenting, how to parent these children. This is one thing that I try to do is to try to not be stressed around her. Now, I fell with that many times because she senses, she feels my stress, and it just makes her more stressed. So, but we'll talk about that later. So go ahead. That's a very good, interesting point.
Okay. Also, they are brutally honest. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I tell a quick story about my indigo son?
No, we like hearing stories.
I will never forget this. He had a birthday party. And he invited a child who did a lot of acting out. He was probably an indigo. Did a lot of acting out, had a lot of energy. And his dad and I knew that it could cause the party to be a little challenging. And sure enough, it was. It was a great party, but there was a lot of activity and not much sleeping. Yeah. Because of this child. He was a deer, but he just had a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So we sat Carter down and said, next year, let's not invite him just because it made it a lot more work and there was a lot of disruption. Well, time goes on, and then we run into the child and his mom at another kid playdate thing. And she asked how the party went, and I said, oh, it was great. And Carter looked at me and I thought, oh no. Because he cannot stand dishonesty. And he looked up at me and he said, Mom, you said we were never going to invite him to a birthday party again because it caused a lot of trouble. You can only imagine.
He didn't say that out loud, did he?
Did say that out loud. But that, they can't stand BS. You can't do the little white lies with these children. Honesty is very, very important. And, you know, that's something we can get into when we're talking about raising indigo kids. They can be our greatest teachers. I think they are our greatest teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true.
I did manage, the mother was awesome. She was fantastic. You know, I kind of stumbled through something and she eventually just looked at me and said, don't worry, I understand. And I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson with that. I never tried a little white lie again. You know, we think we're doing it to protect our children or something. Right. It does not work.
Right. That's a good story.
The next on my list is they're also very abstract thinkers. And I have another story. This is my other son. He was about 6 or 7. Really, really good in math. I mean, a lot of these kids, as we know, are just very, very, very smart. And he was really good in math. He understood a lot of abstract concepts that we were, you know, when he was 2, when we'd look at each other and think, how does he know this? So one day, out of the blue, he just said, you know, Mom, how I do math so well? And I said, no, please tell me. He said, I just see it all in front of me, kind of all the numbers and things hanging in the air in front of me. And I just kind of move them around to find the answer.
Oh, my stars.
Yeah. Oh, my stars is right.
Yeah. And so, but it worked. It worked for him. So yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Another trait is justice and fairness. Very, very, it just, those things just mean a lot to them.
Right.
They follow their instincts if allowed. And my last story about my other child, I had to get all 3 of them in there, is my daughter. Again, from the very young age, she consistently, automatically wanted to be outside all the time.
Right.
Just automatically wanted to be outside. And in my own research later on, I found, and this is part of parenting these children to trust their instincts, I found that that keeps them grounded.
Right.
Very, very grounded. In fact, all 3 of them, 2 of them are in their 20s, and my youngest is 17. They still consistently talk to me about how when they feel a little bit disconnected or out of sorts, they just go outside. And she displayed that at a very young age, always wanted to be outside. She'd just go, I'd look out in the yard, and she'd be sitting there putting rocks in her mouth.
Yeah.
Being about as close to the earth as she could.
Right. Well, you know, that's healthy for everybody. And my child, she was always wanting it to be outside, loved to go barefooted. And that is extremely healthy for everybody to do. We really should do that. That's very interesting.
That was an example of following their instincts. They're also very impatient. They're very good at multitasking, which does cause some problems with parents and educators when they see their children with the earphones in, watching TV and doing their homework. And the automatic instinct, because of our upbringing and our perception of the world, is turn off those things and just concentrate on the homework. And the kids will fight you on that. Now, I never did that, but I talked to a lot of kids whose parents did and teachers did. They can multitask. Mm-hmm. That is just not a problem for them at all. So there's one of those disconnects there where parents, educators, people who work with kids don't understand how for them it's easy and normal. In fact, I'm almost wondering sometimes if they're better, they feel more comfortable having a lot of things going on at once.
Right. Yeah, I think they do. I think some of them do. And I think always a good rule of thumb is just do what works. If they can multitask and make good grades, then leave them alone. You know, if they're happy, especially if they're fighting you against it. You know, we as parents have to pick our battles.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to trust in their instincts. But again, we'll be getting into the how you parent them. Real quickly then, obviously very creative. They have a very strong need for self-expression, yes. Uh-huh. They have a strong sense of unity. They have a very strong sense of being part of something larger than themselves. In fact, I was talking to a 30-something indigo a few days ago, and she was telling me about her work, and she was talking about how it's mostly people her age and how they just have this automatic sense of watching out for the other guy and how they're all working together. You know, it's not that sense that when we were brought up of strong, strong individualism and it's all about me. These guys just automatically know it's all about all of us. It's just very, very built in with them.
Right. Like teamwork type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they also need clarity and they need simplicity and they need freedom. Did I mention they're also very impatient?
I think you did.
Okay. So, that's it for the list. What do you have next?
Okay. I also wanted to ask, what percent of these children are indigo? So the children they're what, in their 30s and younger? What are the age span of them? And
you know,
what percent?
The numbers I've read, and from what I understand, it's from what educators, people working with these children started seeing massively coming in the 80s. I think the number is about 80%.
Okay. 80? Wow, yeah. That's high.
There was some that started coming in the 50s, actually. They had indigo overlay. I would say you're probably one of those. I'm one of those. Somebody had to have these indigo kids, right?
So. Right. And what is our role as parents of these children?
Oh, my goodness. That's a big topic. Yeah. What is our role as parents of these children?
In one sentence or two.
You know what? Well, yeah, we can. Maybe that's even another podcast, getting into parenting them. So you're asking me to roll it all up. I would say...
Are we the ones that are just supposed to learn how to parent them on our own or figure it out, trial and error?
You know what? Any parent's job is to allow their child to be the best they can be, yes?
Right.
Raise them to fulfill their full potential, whatever that is. As parents of indigos, as I said, they can and are our greatest teachers. If I was to put it in the simplest terms, I would say our biggest challenges are helping them to use their intuition, trusting their intuition, in a way, not always treating them as children. Because a lot of times we have tended to treat children as possessions, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
It would be to give them a lot of respect and trust, but on the other hand, remembering that they are children, because you still are their greatest role model. You know, they might have all these capabilities and all this wisdom, et cetera, but they still need parents. They still need boundaries. They need you to be the role model. So you need to show them how to trust yourself and how to trust your instincts and how to love yourself and take care of yourself, because they're still looking to you. I mean, my kids are two of them, as I said, in their 20s, one's 17. I'm about to be an empty nester. Uh-huh. I don't tell them I told you this, but I still get phone calls sometimes on a daily basis. Mom, here's a situation. How would you handle this? You know, they still look to you as their world.
Right.
Did that answer your question at all?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I want to change gear just a little bit. Some people say, they say that their DNA vibrates at like a higher frequency and their brain waves are different than the average person. And that is some more scientific evidence that these children are different. And, you know, that's my left brain part of me coming out. I always like to see the science behind it, some evidence, hardcore proof. And I know that this is also a worldwide phenomenon, that there's been around 1 million books sold in 24 different languages. So this is not just for this country. People all over the world, teachers, parents, and other people are noticing these children are different. I want to ask something. Some people say that these children, their DNA and brain waves vibrate at a higher frequency. Do you know much about that? And I know that they say that the DNA, that 98% of our DNA is junk DNA, which I don't agree with it. I think then they say we only are using 2% of our DNA. But expand on that just a little bit.
Well, yeah, to go along with those lines, I've read the same thing. I've read that there's a lot of scientists out there who also disagree that it's junk DNA. My understanding of it is that it's just not, to put it in simple terms, the rest of the DNA has not been turned on. You know, you can
right.
turn things off and on. So these
right.
kids, my understanding is they're just using more of their DNA. More of the DNA is turned on.
And different abilities are coming through with these children because the DNA, more of it is being turned on. Now, that would make sense.
Yeah, I was just going to say that totally makes sense. And you can go on the internet and you can go to your local bookstore and see articles and books and studies that show science is backing up a human energy field, for example.
Right. Yeah, that's the energy fields, the energy medicine, all that type stuff is my favorite part of my research that I do.
Yeah, me too. And as a matter of fact, and as Lee Carroll and Jan Tober, who wrote the first Indigo book, and then they wrote another book called The Indigo Children 10 years later, I love this quote. They say, science and sociology are catching up with so-called New Age thought. And they give an example of a book review that they read. It was a book called Fifth Wave Leadership by sociologist Morris, and I want to get his name right, Schechtman. And the article noted that there have been four waves of societal change since the beginning of time. First was hunter-gatherers became farmers. Then farmers were transformed by the Industrial Revolution. Industrial Revolution became the Information Age. The Information Age then went to the fast-paced, immediate global information age that we're in now, except that now we're in what's called the fifth wave, where our futures are no longer predicted on what happens out there. They're predicted on what happens in ourselves.
Okay, very interesting.
Yeah. See, what I'm saying is there are those articles out there. There's those books out there. There's those scientists out there and regular lay people who know that, as you said, something is going on and it is being documented. I love the idea that it's fifth wave and these kids are bringing in basically the next step in human consciousness.
Right.
Somebody had to do it, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's, to me, that's very exciting.
It is.
And I know sometimes when you, I was wanting to ask this too, how much of this is what you would say New Age stuff? And I do not like that term because I know some of the New Age stuff gets way out there, but there's some tenets of the New Age system, belief system, that's actually based on science. That's true.
Okay.
And so you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but is this a New Age term or belief or
you know
idea?
No, I wouldn't say so. Not when it's like I said, backed up by parents, educators, scientists. There's just so much fascinating research out there.
Right.
And people then tend to get put off by the term new age or new thinking. But that's why I just read that quote. It's about human consciousness moving forward. It's simply evolution. And it's really not about getting into a debate about what's this called. You know, what is it?
Right.
Is it new age? Is it not? The main point is, how do we help these kids move forward? Look at the world around you. There is a lot going on. There's
right.
a lot. They're systems busters. That's one of the main things, too. That's something I didn't list. They are systems busters. And
yeah.
you see with a lot of the chaos going on in the world that systems are breaking up because
right.
they are not serving the bulk of humanity.
Right. I agree. And I think a lot of systems need to be broken up.
That's
and then replaced with something better. And I think that's why we
do that.
Right. And I think we're seeing, that's why we're seeing the one reason so many things seem to be collapsing.
Exactly.
We're going through a major change right now. And a lot of people, you know, they don't realize it, but we are going through a major change. And as they say, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But I'm an optimist, but I also like to be a realist, too. But I am an optimist, and I think the future is very bright, but we've just got to survive the transition, so to speak. And these children, I think, are here to help us through the transition.
Exactly. They're here to show us in certain ways, a lot of the ways that I wouldn't say that we've gone wrong. I would say how it can be done better.
Right, right. And it's a learning process. It's a learning process. But with these children coming in and more of their DNA is waking up, they're able to, and they're extremely intelligent. And I had read or heard at some point that they're here to help us solve these problems that society we've created. And I think they're going to have the brain power to help us do that. So it's very important that we understand these children and understand how to deal with them, how to parent them, how to work with them, how to nourish them and help them to be all that they're meant to be so that they can help society because they're here to help us. Okay. Well, this has been a very interesting conversation. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to this? And again, I want to talk in depth about being a parent to these children, and I think that would be good to wait to till another time and have a whole section on that. But what else would you like to add to this?
I was just going to say I would love to talk about that further because that's kind of what my idea that I had about how to end this conversation is a little bit on how to raise them. And what I said earlier, they can and are our greatest teachers. And just to touch a little bit on what we might be talking about next time, I think I touched on it earlier. Listen to them, treat them with respect, don't lie to them. Listening, back to listening, partly because as we said, if they're systems busters, they're automatically gonna see how things aren't working. And it might come across to some people as arrogance or they're just trying to break things up for fun. It's not that. It's just that they see where things aren't working. And it would help us to actually listen to what they have to say.
Right. Too often we disregard them and their thoughts and ideas because they're children. But with that extra intelligence and that they have, it seems, and the extra DNA that's waking up, they do have a lot of information and a lot of ideas that they need to share with us, and we do need to listen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Last but not least, and I mentioned this earlier, but I think it's worth repeating. All the things I listed about, you know, listening to them, trusting their feelings, their intuition, etc., these are things as parents that we need to do for ourselves as well. Like I said, we're still their universe. They might be smart little suckers,
right.
but they still need parents, and we are their role model. If we want them to value themselves and listen to their intuition and take care of themselves, they need to see us doing that first.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. Now, Leslie, I thought of one more thing. I really need to get into this session. How, and it seems I'm kind of backtracking a little, but there's a lot of ADD and ADHD out there. And I think that has different causes. I think the ADD, ADHD phenomenon is more just a set of symptoms and we've just placed a label on it. How, explain how that, I mean, do you think a lot of these indigo children have the ADHD and it's not really a problem? We're just not dealing with them correctly and they're acting out or, you know, we're not helping them. You know what I'm trying to say.
I do.
What's the relationship between ADHD and indigo children?
Well, I think there's something to that. You know, neither one of us are doctors or medical professionals, so we certainly can't say unequivocally that this is a result of this. But from the foundation, coming from what we've been talking about, there are a lot of people out there who do think that a large amount is not understanding what these kids need. For instance, what the needs are. For instance, being in school all day and sitting, you know, and they automatically have a lot of energy. They learn in a different way. Trying to put, how do they say it, square pegs in round holes.
Right.
I definitely think there is a connection. I really, really do. I think the more we learn to understand who they are and see the world from their perception as well, which can have a lot of value for us. I do tend to agree with you about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, these children, you know, as the title of my show, The Misdiagnosed Life, these children to me seem to be living the epitome of the misdiagnosed life. It's just they don't fit into the old way of doing things, and that can present problems for parents and educators and others. And so it's like they're living a misdiagnosed life, and I think it's our job to try to learn and understand them and learn how to work with them and help them. And I think things will go so much smoother when and as that happens. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I'm looking forward to getting back with you and on another show, and we'll talk about how to parent these indigo children.
I would absolutely love that, and let me add one more thing.
Okay.
They are our future.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And it's something that we really need to learn how to help these children. And it'll make everybody's lives a whole lot easier
as well. I agree. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. And I really look forward to coming back and talking some more about how to raise them, because we both have a lot of experience in that. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners do, too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. I'm Beverly Butler. This is The Misdiagnosed Life. And as the saying goes, you don't know what you don't know. Until next time.